Well, it's about 6 a.m. and I'm laying in bed. I've been keeping a dream journal lately. I read something about that process. As someone who's never really read into dreams much, just about the idea of taking notes, and I've sort of enjoyed doing it. But the last couple days, when I've woken up to just jot something down, I've ended up just staying awake. It's made my mind too active. So I'm laying here. And doing this like this is a first for me. I've never laid in bed and done a podcast into my phone like this. And that's not true. Everyone I do is like this. I'm laying in bed. No, but really, I've never done one like this. And it feels oddly like a psychiatric session. And it's going to feel even more like a psychiatric session because I'm thinking about pre-puberty crushes. And I think pre-puberty crushes are fascinating to me because it's before puberty. Pre-puberty means before puberty. But really, I think it's fascinating because it's before, you know, sexuality takes hold. And not that I really think sexuality is... You know, I'm sort of anti-Freudian, where I don't think sexuality is as overpowering as people make it out to be. I think the idea of it, I think that there's a narrative that's very strong, that sexuality kind of rules everything, but I think it's a narrative. And, you know, narratives are powerful, you know, as anybody knows. But I don't believe it's the absolute truth. And I think pre-puberty crushes sort of show that. And, you know, I'm sure there's some scientific evidence that, like, oh, well, even though you ain't horny, you know, it's a it's an early manifestation of your sexuality. But I don't know. I don't know what my first crush ever was. And a lot of people would probably say, their mom's boob or something like that. But I wasn't breastfed. there was some sort of complication with me at birth where I was born with my umbilical cord wrapped around my neck. And this is sounding like it's going to be my whole life story. But it's not. It's just the story of how I was born with my umbilical cord wrapped around my neck and my face was blue. And, or maybe it wasn't, maybe this is a lie my mom told me, but no, I believe it. So my face was blue and I almost died. And because of this, at least I think it was because of that complication, I couldn't be breastfed and they had to, that's not true. The umbilical cord was a totally unrelated incident. The strangulation from my umbilical cord was totally unrelated to what I'm about to say, which is that I couldn't breastfeed because my mouth was filled with sores. It was filled with canker sores. And so they had to get this, some sort of a formula that was used to feed brain dead people in China. It was used to feed catatonic people in China. So it was some sort of milk or milky formula used for catatonic or brain dead people in Asia. And I was given that, and I was never breastfed to my knowledge. So I never had the boob crush. I think a lot of kids, their first crush is just on the boob because it feeds them and it's a boob. Even though it's their mom's, it's their first crush, but not me. I never had a crush on a boob, I'll tell you that. But I think back about like what my true first puberty crush was. I remember my sister had a friend named Lindsay, and my sister is 7 years older, so I was very young. And my memories of it are very vague, but I remember her being around a lot for a while, and then she moved, and I remember feeling very hung up on it and asking about that friend. It was this friend of my sister's, and I had this, you know, infatuation with her. I remember she had long blonde hair in a ponytail. She always had a ponytail, and I think she was short. And she would call me Earwig, because my name is Eric, obviously. So she called me Earwig, which is great. You know, I love being made fun of, especially by a girl, as long as it's not cruel. Like, if a girl is making fun of me in some cruel way, Which I don't know if I've ever experienced, honestly, but just the idea of that is horrifying. The idea of a girl you like being cruel to you. but I like, you know, a nice mild, you know, ribbing or being made fun of. And this girl, my sister's friend, I mean, I'm thinking how young I must have been. I mean, I must have been like 3 years old. I honestly don't think I was much older than three, maybe four at the absolute oldest. And she would call me Earwig, and I would like be like, don't call me Earwig, but I loved it, you know, I loved it. And I remember like her family seemed interesting. I don't remember if she hadn't, I had this early crush on a girl. Her family seemed interesting. but I remember they seemed to have an interesting house, and her dad had an interesting mustache, believe it or not. I feel like he had a weird curly mustache, and I feel like he called me Earwig too. Like he would come to pick her up from our house, and I would talk to them, and I don't. Maybe I just had a crush on the entire family. I don't know. But in terms of like man woman crush, you know, my 3 year old self definitely had a crush on this girl, and then she moved away, and I always felt very sad. And in my mind, being that age, I imagined that this girl would continue to be a part of our lives forever. I imagined she would continue to be a part of our lives forever. Because you don't really know. It's like, you don't, at that point, you don't really realize that kids move, families move, and like, there might be some amount of contact. Like, I imagine my sister and her, like, wrote letters for, like, a few months or something. You know, you don't really stay close friends and, back then, things were interesting, too, because there were less ways to stay in contact. Like, there wasn't the internet, which is kind of funny when people say that. Like, when people say, this was before the internet. Like, people will say that who know that I existed for years before the internet, and I know that they existed for years before the internet, and they'll still clarify that, like, this was before the days of the internet. And it's like, yeah, I know, I was there, you know, I experienced that shit, so did you, we all know that, we all know how it worked, I'm not a 10-year-old, I'm not a 17-year-old for that matter, you know, I remember the days how things worked, but people I feel like were more likely to stay in touch with their friends if they moved and that kind of thing, because it was meaningful. Like, if you had to write a letter or make a phone call to stay in touch with a childhood friend who moved to another town or even just another school, because that happened. Kids would move to another school and it felt like they went to an island. And I don't know where this girl went. In my mind, I think they moved to the East Coast, but maybe just the fact that she wasn't around in our immediate lives anymore felt like she moved somewhere much further. But either way, she wasn't around anymore. And like, sometimes I feel like my sister must have seen her once or twice after that. But I just remember being maybe a little bit hung up on it. At the time, I was young and everything was changing minute by minute. Because you think about, like, how much fucking changes in your life in a short amount of time when you're growing up. Good and bad. Good or bad. My childhood was mostly good. So I had a lot of good distractions going on. But I do, looking back, I think of that as a very early crush that I had. Maybe the first one, really. I just remember wanting to be around that girl, just like playing, you know, nothing, there was nothing like gross about it. There was nothing weird on my part. I just remember feeling kind of excited when she came over to my house and hung out with my sister and all that. And it would make sense that, you know, an early crush would be like a non-family member who is, you know, 7 years older than me. So seemed much older than that, of course. Because when you're a little kid and you have a sibling who's 7 years older, their friends seem fucking monumentally older. They seem like little adults. They seem cool. But after that, I'm trying to remember if I had a crush. Oh yeah, in kindergarten I had a crush on this girl named Candy. I can't believe her name was Candy. And you can make all kinds of stripper jokes about that. And she came from this hippie family that was really out of place in our town. And I was mean to her. I've never been mean to my crushes. I've never been particularly mean to my girlfriends or anything like that. But I was always really mean to this girl. And I think that was the only time I ever, like, chased a girl on the playground. Because I find that so bizarre yet so real. and so obvious that little boys chase girls on the playground. And that's not an example of, like, the fucking patriarchy. That's not an example of, like, society conditioning boys to be, like, hostile or aggressive or predatory toward girls. That just shows you the bare nature. Because, like, you know, dads don't sit there. Culture doesn't, like, sit on a little boy's shoulders and say, like, chase that girl. Oh, you hanging out with girls on the playground? Make sure you chase them. You don't know what you're doing if you ain't chasing girls. You know, that's not how things work. Like, there's no pressure whatsoever. Nobody teaches you to chase girls on the playground. Yet if you walk by a playground today, you will see that. You will see boys chasing girls and girls screaming, and their screams are so fucking high-pitched, it's insane. I talked about that on another podcast, just how fucking shrill those screams are. They're insane, the fact that a voice is doing that. But little girls scream, but they not in like a, and they're not scared. It's like this weird game they're playing where it's like the boys chase the girls and the girls run and they scream, and it's like, just think about that. I'm not even going to elaborate, but just think about how that's what they naturally do. That's what children naturally do. And my first experience, and maybe only, I don't remember ever chasing a girl other than this, but I chased Candy, the little hippie girl. And I remember thinking how, like, I just kind of wanted her in my life. And I never really did. I mean, you're in kindergarten. You don't call anybody. You don't, like, I chased her on the playground. That was the extent of the relationship. And I remember her having, like, a ruggedness to her. Like, a wildness, maybe, would be a better word. A ruggedness. That rugged kindergartner girl, Candy. No, but I remember her having kind of, like, a, maybe it's the hippie parents. I feel like she had a little leather jacket or something. Maybe I'm imagining that. But one day, like, this is where things get fucked up, and I remember one day on the playground, and we had the kindergartners, we had our own isolated little mini playground where we were kept to ourselves. Like, the rest of the school, the rest of the elementary school had their own playground where they all, like, co-mingled. But us kindergartners had our own little playground where we were isolated amongst ourselves, like, we were just developing too much, maybe, I don't know. God forbid we fall under the influence of older kids. But one day I was chasing Candy, and it's not like I chased her every day. I probably chased her like twice. And the second time, though, I threw a little rock at her. And that's so fucked up. Like, thinking back about that, is that I liked this girl, and I would chase her at least a couple times. I honestly think it was only a couple times. It's not like an everyday thing. I swear, I only chased Candy a couple times, but I threw this little rock, not like a big rock where I was trying to hurt her, it was just a weird, like, form of contact, I guess, and I remember I hit her in the back, and I know I didn't hurt her, she didn't cry, but my mom, like, a different mom would volunteer as the, the watcher, the supervisor, I don't know, like, a different mom would watch over us, like, would come to volunteer at the school, and we were only there for half days, maybe that's why we had our own playground, I don't know, like, we were just on our own schedule, so kindergartners were only there for half the day, and I threw a rock at this girl I liked, and my mom happened to be the attendant, or the supervisor, the volunteer mom that day. And this girl ran to my mom and told on me. She said that Eric threw a rock. And I still remember my mom, like, telling me, like, not to throw rocks. And, you know, kind of, you know, she wasn't biased toward me. You know, she definitely gave me a scolding. And my mom's not a particularly scolding woman, you know. So she gave me a little scolding for throwing that rock at Candy. But I do remember, like, thinking about it now, like, having a fairly deep infatuation with her, like, with Candy, like, and just having, like, weird little fantasies, like, obviously, once again, non-sexual, but just kind of, like, imagining, like, doing things with her outside of school, not even doing things, I feel like it was more sinister than that. I feel like I wanted to, like, I don't know. I say that like I threw a rock at her and I had sinister fantasies. No, not really. I think I just wanted like her around. Like more sinister than just like holding hands. Sinister in the sense that like I think I wanted to like sit in a car with her on a car ride. Throw her in the trunk of a car. No, I don't know. I don't know what I wanted, man. I just know that that was an early crush. Then first grade, this is just gonna go year by year, all my pre-puberty crushes, but yeah, I don't know, I feel like doing this. I feel like I'm on the couch. Even though I'm in the bed, I'm on the couch right now. And the doc's got the notepad, but the doctor is a phone, a smartphone, and instead of a notepad, it's a little recorder. It's a little recording tool. Because ultimately, what the fuck's the difference between a psychiatrist, like with his legs crossed, jotting into a notepad, and a smartphone just recording you? I don't feel like there's any difference, except maybe the smartphone is more productive with your time. Maybe the smartphone, maybe doing a podcast is a little more productive than like talking to a fucking psychiatrist. I don't know. I don't know, man. Yeah, first grade, the girl, first grade was interesting because we were a split class. We were a first and second grade split class. So half the glass is half full. Now half the class were first graders, which is what I was, and half the class was second graders. Which is an interesting idea. Like, I guess that would be because maybe there weren't enough in each grade. Maybe there, because there were like a bunch of classes in each grade, but maybe just like the number of students for each grade fell into kind of an awkward zone where they didn't have enough to make a whole new class. So it was like, let's just put the first and second graders together. But looking back, I fucking loved it. It was cool. Like, there was a clear delineation between the first graders and second graders, and they did. We did first grade of things, they did second grade of things, you know. But there was a lot of commingling, and we did a lot of the same things, like a lot of the same art projects, obviously, like the same field trips. Every once in a while, they would go do something else in another part of the school, like, I guess, because I think they had like field trips and stuff that were specific for second graders. But most stuff we did together. And you think about like how fucking similar little kids are. Like between first and second grade, you're so similar, but the differences seem so monumental. And a lot of that's just because you're told like these kids are second graders and you're a first grader. And at the time, you feel like holy shit, like oh, it's a world of difference. But when you're just sitting there in the same room all day, like who gives a fuck? But there was a second grade girl who was in that class, and every fucking boy liked her. I remember years later hearing this, that like every boy had a crush on her, and it just made sense. Liz Brown, and I'm gonna use her full name because I never saw her afterward. Like, I think she still continued to go to that school, but she ended up going to a different junior high and different high school. But she was a year older, and she was blonde, and just like, she had this sort of like Clarissa Explains It All kind of feeling to her. Like, she just seemed cool. And she didn't look like Melissa Joan Hart or anything. She had her own look. She had her own look. And she didn't wear like a leather jacket or whatever, even though I already mentioned like the last girl wore a leather jacket. There's no recurring theme of leather jackets here. But this girl, she didn't wear a leather jacket like Clarissa Explains It All or anything. But I imagine she lived that kind of life. And I don't really know why. She just seemed cool, like hip somehow. And anyway, like I remember I had this computer program called KidPix. And you could like and this girl Liz was obsessed with horses. And I remember like wanting a connection to her, but I just couldn't find one. I just wanted some kind of like fucking connection to this girl. And like this program KidPix, it had this weird tool where you would like it would be like a blank like file, and it was like an you think about it was like an almost like a precursor to Photoshop for kids. Like there was a stamp tool, there were all these little tools, but they were kind of it was more like a game than it was like a photo editing program or like a creative program. Like all the tools were more like playing a little game, but still, it was a very early form of something like Photoshop, where there were you could draw, you could just do different things. It was a kind of an early design program, but it was much more like game oriented. And like one of the little things you could do is there was this like magic eraser tool, and if you clicked the magic eraser and just like kind of drew with it on the blank file, it would create a mystery image. And that sounds really cool, but the mystery image, it would just like, as the more that you filled in, the more you would see what it is. And it might be an animal. I think it was only going to be an animal, but it would be a different animal every time. And one of the animals was a horse, and it would look like almost graphite like. It would look like it was drawn in pencil, like a really well done pencil drawing or graphite drawing. And it would, so you'd end up with this like cool thing, and you almost felt like you did it, even though all you did is like kind of like you could just like scribble and it would create this perfect horse. So it was just like, it was like all you were doing was like wiping the white away from the file and revealing this like pre-made image, but you kind of felt like you did it. And I was an artist and stuff, like I've been drawing my entire life, but you just kind of felt like you did this thing. I'm just checking to make sure this is still rolling. Yeah, we're rolling. I'm not gonna get any more sleep this morning, which I need, but fuck it, man, fuck it. And so it would reveal this image, and I remember like one time I didn't normally like, it's not like normally I went home for lunch, but there was this one day where like my mom picked me up for an appointment, and so I did end up having lunch at home, and I remember thinking, I've gotta go use KidPix and try to get that horse image so I can show it to Liz. this is how early the fucking insanity starts, man. See, pre-puberty crushes. The madness begins early. And it's pathetic, but it's like cute, because like thinking about it, it's cute, but it's also pathetic, as many things are. Cute but pathetic. And prophetic. But I remember like going and like opening KidPix and being like, I've got to try that magic eraser, and I hope it's a horse. I hope it's not a pig. I hope it's not like a dog. I hope it's a fucking horse so that I can show Liz. And sure enough, it was a horse, and that was exciting. And I printed it out, man. I printed out this fucking drawing of a horse that I didn't even do, that you could only get through this magic eraser tool in fucking KidPix. And it was spelled Kid PIX, which is cool. And I think the logo was like an I. It was like KidPix, and I think the I was dotted with an I. I'm sure you can look up that program. I'm sure like people talk nostalgically about it, but I doubt there's any fucking person on the internet talking about how they printed off a picture of a horse from KidPix to try to impress their crush. I bet I'm the only one. But anyway, I took this picture of the horse, and I didn't like present it to her. I was more subtle than that. I just kind of set it on my desk, and I didn't sit right next to her. I think she sat a couple people over, a few people over, and I set this picture of a horse on my desk. For what reason, I don't know. I didn't give a fuck about horses, man. I didn't care about horses, but I set it on the top of my desk like it was some sort of decoration, or like not even, because it's not like I taped it down, and it's not like kids decorated the tops of their desks. So I just set this goddamn picture of a horse down on the top of my desk, and I just hoped that Liz would notice and say something. And near the end of the day, she finally did. And I was just sort of standing there hovering over my horse picture, hovering over my horse picture. And Liz kind of glanced, she was talking to somebody, and she kind of looked, glanced over, and she goes, "Ooh, a horse." And I was delighted. I was so delighted. That's the only word I can possibly use, because it's kind of a lame word to use. Like, I never say, "Oh, I was delighted." I was delighted. I was delighted. I was, though. I think that's the only, it's that word is so lame that I could only use it in this instance to capture how delightedly lame I actually felt. I was fucking delighted that Liz noticed my stupid fucking horse picture, and nothing came of it. You know, it was sort of underwhelming. It was sort of a letdown in a weird way, because I remember feeling like excited that she noticed and commented. But it's not like, ooh, this is my in. I got my in with Liz. As nothing ever came of it, we never talked about horses again. God knows what happened to my horse picture. I certainly didn't keep it on my desk. And that was that, you know. But one day I remember Liz wore a skirt to school, and it was a zip-up skirt. And this sounds like some sort of lecherous thing, like, ah, oh, she wore a skirt. Those legs, you know. But it wasn't like that at all. It wasn't like I didn't really feel like some, like, sexual response to this, which just sounds creepy to say. I got my cat in my face. Geez, hey, Rosie, just get there. Just get there. Where's your horse picture? I only respond to horse pictures. But Liz wore this black, it was a kind of a black mini skirt, and it wasn't like super short. She was a fucking second grader, so I'm not trying to sexualize this or anything like that. But what happened is, like, we had story time every day, and we would sit on the floor, which is kind of funny that we all had desks, and occasionally we would be read to from the desks. Like, the teacher would read in front of the class, and we'd sit in our desks. But a lot of times we would have story time where they'd go, come sit on the ground. Come sit on the ground. And so we'd have to go sit on the ground. And Liz, though, because she was in this skirt, and she looked, it was so classy, like her skirt and like whatever else she was wearing. I remember it being just so classy looking. And she was blonde, so it went really well with the black skirt. And I think she was in a black, like, blouse or something. And that's such a weird word. I've never really quite come to terms with the word blouse. It seems really, like, weird and outdated. I don't know, a blouse. Either way, she was in this dark number. She was wearing a dark number. And with her blonde hair and stuff, she just looked really cool, like a character from something. And she had some kind of leggings on, too. And once again, I'm not trying to, like, sexualize this. It wasn't like I was turned on. It was just she looked striking, I think is what it was. And she was in some sort of nice shoes, a nice pair of shoes, some sort of everything. It was very fancy and classy. And but the thing that stood out is, like, when we got called to the floor for story time, or we all had to sit cross-legged, she asked if she could sit in a chair because of her skirt, and her request was allowed. Like, they granted her request. So she sat in a chair above all of us. And I remember just, like, I was on the ground, like, next to her. I think I sat next to her, not even on purpose. Like, it was just how it happened. I swear it was random. And I remember just being, like, so taken by that experience. It was like she was royalty. And, you know, I don't have some weird fantasy about, like, licking a girl's boot or anything like that, but just, like, sitting cross-legged on the floor with her in a chair and her fancy clothes and her skirt and her tights or whatever she was wearing. And she just seemed so old and just dignified. And I felt like such a low fucking, you know, creature who was just, you know, lucky to be graced with her presence. And it was impressive. That's all it was. It was impressive. And I don't remember anything else about her from that year, only that I heard years later that, you know, other boys had a crush on her. Not necessarily in that year. I had a friend who went to her junior high. It was this, like, weird, like, fancy international school. It was called the International School. And it was basically, like, parents who, like, really wanted their kids to have a good education. And of course her parents wanted her to have a good education. You know, she wore those tights and that skirt to school. But then third grade, I had, like, this full-on obsession with this girl, and she was a twin, and she was thought of as the lesser attractive twin, which is interesting that I went for her. And I didn't interact with her at all. Like, we barely ever talked. That was, like, when I first started to feel, like, a much more, like, acute crush. Like, with the other girls, it was more like with Liz Brown, it was, like, this infatuation. She was a second grader. She was classy. But, like, this girl in my third grade class, it was definitely much more, like, butterflies, like, that feeling. And we never interacted. And this girl, she was very athletic. Like, she was thought of as the fat twin, but she wasn't fat. It was just, like, kids are cruel. And I heard later, like, she showed up later, and I never talked to her ever again. And I wasn't, I don't know. I just didn't care at that point. Like, she showed up, like, because she went to the fucking international school too. This is fucking weird. The first two like real crushes I remember having, they both ended up going to this weird international school, and not many kids went there. So it's weird to think about. But this girl ended up showing up again years later in junior high or high school. And she had lost a lot of weight. And once again, like I said, she was never fat. But, like, I think the fat twin, you know, cruelty got back to her. And I heard she became bulimic. So she, like, was emaciated. But early on, like, I remember just having this obsession with this girl. Never talking to her. Like, never being creepy. But just kind of being very aware of her presence all the time. And one day, like, I took a paper clip, and I wanted her to notice me. And, like, since this girl wasn't into horses and I didn't know how else to get her attention, I sort of mutilated myself. I took this paper clip, and we were watching a movie, and who knows what it was, but I took this paper clip and I just kept scratching at the back of my hand until it kind of, like, I don't think it ever bled, but it just kind of created some, like, you know, it just kind of did that thing that a paperclip would do if you just, like, scrape it against your hand incessantly during a movie. It just kind of created this, like, raw, you know, I don't know, just this rawness to the back of my hand. And the whole time I was like, I hope she notices that I'm doing this and, like, thinks it's cool. Which is fucked up. That's a really fucked up thing to do. And I saw that sort of behavior play out among my fellow boys during those years. Like, I remember this kid I was friends with who was like he was like a star athlete and he was popular. And he had a crush on this older girl in junior high, and he was a fucking 12-year-old. And he created this weird, like, beating stick where he would beat himself in the head because she didn't like him. And he, like, it was like he created this thing. It was like he took some sort of stick and he, like, tied things to it. It was like this weird self-flagellation device, and he would beat himself in the head. And he was sort of a severe, intense guy. And, you know, that goes to show you, and he was a very popular guy. Girls liked him. But this one girl, this older girl, didn't like him, so he would beat himself in the fucking head over it. That's what all you need to know about the male fucking mind. And it starts early. But so third grade, like, I kind of, like, did this little act of self-mutilation, and I've never been a self-mutilator ever. Despite, like, self-destructive tendencies, like going through years of drinking and that kind of thing, I've never really been a self-mutilator at all. But I tried to mutilate my hand with a fucking paperclip to impress this girl. And she never noticed, you know, she didn't see it and go, "Ooh, some nice self-mutilation there, boy. You know, nice self-mutilation there." It wasn't like the horse picture. Ooh, a horse. Ooh, self-mutilation. It wasn't like she even noticed, so it was all in vain. It was really weird and stupid. Other than that, I just remember hoping, like, she would notice me. And she wasn't a girl who all the boys had a crush on. Like I said, she was thought of as, like, the ugly twin, even though she wasn't, and she was beautiful to me. But her sister were, like, champion jump ropers. Like I said, they were, like, weird little athletes, and she was, like, a champion jump roper. And I remember, like, I had this park across the street from my house, and I just hoped that one day she would, like, decide to go jump rope there. She didn't live near me, at least not, like, it's all relative. When you're a kid, like, if a kid doesn't live on your block, like, they don't live near you, but they didn't live close enough to use that park. But that park, it had, like, a nice little paved area, and I remember thinking, like, it'd be really nice if, like, one day her mom brought her and her sister to the park across the street from my house, and they just jump roped so that I could go over there and just, like, mutilate myself in front of them, you know? No, the mutilation stuff, that was just a one-time thing. Like, but I remember thinking, like, I hope that the mom just, like, brings them over to the fucking park across the street so I can just kind of pretend I'm going over there just randomly, but really going over to try to, like, get noticed. But that never happened. They never went to the park. And that crush ended. Because, like I said, it's like each year changes, and, like, most of your crushes just end. It's, like, based on who's in your class. You know, and you think about that, like, think about, like, getting married later and, like, you think about true love and all that and how much of it's just proximity. How much of, like, high school sweethearts is just the fact that you're, like, comfortable and from the same small town. And, like, I even look at people who have gotten married, like, from my high school and stuff, and, like, they're people who, like, went away to college or they went away and lived in different places and then they ended up, like, getting married in the same place. I even saw some example online where, like, these two people who, like, went to my school, like, ended up reconnecting in, like, L.A. or another town. And, like, it just shows you how that comfort is everything and, like, that proximity and, like, growing up in the same town, like, is so meaningful when it comes to something like settling down. And I think about how, like, those early crushes, they were always a girl in my class. It wasn't a girl in another class. It was the girl who was in my class. So, like, so much of that is just, like, who is there? Who's available? Who do you see every day? I think that's a big part of it. It's like when they talk about, like, workplace affairs, which, like, I had one of those once, and they say that, like, you know, men and women working together, it's almost, like, inevitable because it's, like, you spend more time with, like, coworkers of the opposite sex than you do, or gender, or whatever the hell it is, than you do your own, like, significant other. And I didn't, like, cheat on anybody. I'm just saying that, like, I just ended up, like, dating a coworker. And it's because you're in this, like, tiny little space, and it's weird, man, to be in, like, a tiny little space. Like, growing up is just a different manifestation of that, where you're in the same room with this person, you know, all day. You think about elementary school, you don't have different classes. It's not like high school or junior high where you go to different classes throughout the day. You're in the same class with the same 30 kids all day, every day for the entire school year. Of course, your crush is going to be someone in that class. But a lot of it just kind of is, it's proximity. It's like, who am I around? Who am I going to get married to? Oh, just the person who's, like, in my fucking high school or in my town. But, you know, speaking of that, like, being it being different from high school or different from junior high, that first and second grade split class, it felt like being older. Like, that felt almost like being in high school because you got to mingle, you got to have classes with older kids, and you don't get to experience that until junior high, man. So having a split class was sort of like a weird precursor to that junior high, high school, you know, having classes with older kids, having French class with a ninth grader. But yeah, so that third grade, that ended. I never got that girl's attention. Who knows what happened, you know? I don't know. And fourth grade, I'm just going year by year here. This is awful. This is beautiful and awful. Beautiful. It's beautiful, man. This girl, Leah, which is a biblical name, you know, I found out recently. Of course it is. It wasn't a super crush, but what stood out to me about her is, like, one day I overheard this boy telling another boy, he was like, yeah, either that or she has a crush on Eric Stonefelt. And I remember, like, my ears perked up and I was like, wait, what? What? And he was like, yeah, you ever notice the way Leah stares at you? And, you know, who knows if she, and I kind of did. It was weird. I don't, you know, if someone were to approach her today, she would probably say, I don't remember that. I don't remember having a crush on him, but at the time, like, I do remember it, like, looking back, and I don't remember a girl staring at me, you know, except for then, and this kid noticed it, this other boy noticed it, which means he must have been staring at her, so it was a weird sort of, like, not a love triangle, but a weird sort of, like, he's got a crush on her, and he's staring at her, and she's got a crush on me, and she's staring at me. And so who the fuck am I looking at? I'm just sitting there mutilating myself and printing out horse pictures. Yeah, I remember this guy pointing it out. And he wasn't, like, a loser, you know, this guy who pointed it out. He was actually, once again, kind of a popular kid. And, like, so I felt like I could take his word seriously. And after that, I did notice that she did stare at me. And I think that kind of, like, she was an attractive girl. At least she seemed that way at the time. I don't know. She didn't have a twin, and so I can't say that she was the ugly twin or anything, but anyway, like, her liking me, I think, made me like her more. And that's another one of those things. It's almost like the proximity thing. Like, you have a crush on who you're around and who you're in a class with. I think, like, when you know somebody likes you, as long as you don't find them repulsive, I think it does make you, like them more, or at least you consider them in that way. It was almost like, oh, she likes me? She's staring at me? Well, you know, maybe there's something there. Maybe there's something there. you know, she's got great taste. And I remember, like, that's at the point, like, you think about, like, fourth grade, and that's really, like, when pre-puberty starts to morph, you know? Pre-puberty starts to morph. That's going to be my voice the rest of this episode, the rest of this session. This is much more of a session than an episode, laying down here. I'm kind of on my side right now. I'm kind of laying on my side. I'm not, like, propped up on my elbow, but I'm, like, in this awkward position where, like, I'm almost about to prop myself up on my elbow, and my head's sort of, like, semi-lifted off the pillow, but I'm not really propped up. I don't know. I'm on my side either way. It's just going to be a description of me laying here the rest of the episode, doing voices and laying on my side. But yeah, nothing ever really came of that. I remember being very curious where she lived, and not in a stalkerish sort of way, but it's just sort of like, what is her life like? That's kind of what it was. It was this general thought, like, what is her life like? What is her life like? But that's sort of the age where it's like, where pre-puberty, these weird pre-puberty crushes start to morph into, like, real crushes. And I wouldn't say that was a real crush. But after fourth grade is when I don't think I'm going to talk about fifth grade or sixth grade or anything after that, because that's when it starts to feel much more like, you're kind of like, that's when you're caught up in, like, what life is going to be like. That's when the crushes start to feel more, like, real. And, like, in fifth grade, I remember, like, it started to feel more like this is becoming a thing. Like, everybody is starting to get open crushes, like, open sores. They're starting to get open crushes, and people are starting to buzz about it more. We're starting to act like little teenagers. That kind of started in fifth grade. And by sixth grade, because I went to an elementary school that was kindergarten through sixth, because it's the junior high system. So it's like junior high was 7th through 9th, and high school was 10th through 12th. So you're in elementary school through 6th grade. But, like, by 6th grade, it's like we were little teenagers. We were, like, gossiping. We were, like, calling each other. You know, people were, like, dating to some degree, which is fucking weird. I'm so glad I didn't date at that age. I'm so glad that, like, because what do you even do? Like, what do? Like, you talk on the phone, maybe? Maybe you talk on the phone? Maybe you stand next to each other? It just seems really awkward. And maybe I would have better and longer sustaining relationships now if I had gone through the motions then. If I had, like, gotten a girlfriend in sixth grade where we just stand next to each other and don't know what to say. Maybe that would have better primed me for the rest of my life. I don't know, but I'm glad looking back that, like, I didn't waste my time just, like, standing around. But by the time you're in fifth and sixth grade, I feel like puberty's on its way, and if not already there. I don't know what age, like, I don't remember what age I started getting, like, pubes, because that seems like the most clear-cut mark of puberty arriving, not to get disgusting. I already talked about mutilating my hand with a paperclip. And here I just jump off into just my young body, which somehow it sounds worse to say my young body than to mention, like, I don't know when my pubes grew in. Either way, it's just the full effect, in effect. But yeah, and then by seventh grade, like, by the time you're in junior high, it's just everybody's, like, talking nonstop about their crushes. That's basically all anybody's talking about. It's just nonstop, like, I have a crush on so-and-so. Who do you have a crush on? I have a crush on you. And then the ninth graders seem like fucking adults
who, like, they have, like, real relationships, which, once again, like, I remember that, like, I'll just say that. I'm not going to talk about my crushes in fifth grade and onward, but I will say, like, by the time you're in seventh grade and everybody's just under the spell of, you know, their hormones and all that bullshit, like, the ninth graders seemed like they were in these, like, very real relationships, that they really knew what they were doing. Looking back, like, a ninth grade relationship is just as awkward and weird as, like, a fifth grade relationship. And, like, yeah, you started to hear about people having sex, and, like, they started to, like, do more of the things that high schoolers do and that kind of thing. But at the same time, it was fucking awkward. You're in junior high. You're, you know, what do you do? What do you talk about? And what the fuck do you talk about as an adult? You know, when you're in a relationship as an adult, what do you do? What do you talk about? a lot. There's a lot. There's a lot to connect on. There's a lot of connections you can make to people. But I don't know. It's different than pre-puberty crushes. And there's so much there. I feel like there's so much there I want to say. And I've obviously not held back at all throughout this entire thing, but I feel like there's some big points that I'm just, like, trying to find in all of this. But I feel like, you know, looking back at those pre-puberty crushes, you really do, you see yourself in a much more raw form. You see yourself in a very raw form, a little raw form of your future self. You know, it's first scraping away at your hand, printing off horse pictures, and next thing you know, you're making up an entire fake personality just to impress a girl. But I like thinking about that because it's before anybody was trying to get laid, or, like, before you could accuse somebody of trying to get laid. It wasn't even if that's not your motivation today as an adult, like, back then it certainly wasn't your motivation. So it's interesting to see the way that those impulses manifest when you're very young.
This land is mine. God gave this land to me. This brave, this golden land to me. And when the morning sun reveals her hills and plains, I see a land where children can run free. So take